Hey. Oh. Hi, sorry. I fell off my stool, man. Well, I almost did. That would have been bad. What if I fell? Think about this for a second. What if I fell off my stool and no one knew? Like, or hit my head on the cement, let's say. Because there's, well, it's not really cement, but I have this linoleum down here in the new studio. And if I slipped and fell on my head and it killed me, no one would know. Not right away. And when they came and found me, here's how it would go down. They would come in here. They'd see the body. There'd be much weeping and wailing, right? The season of mourning would begin immediately. And they would see me laying there. And then somebody somehow would get the wherewithal and clear-headedness to see that I've got software up here recording. And they'll notice it because someone will bump the mouse and it'll clear the screensaver. And you'll see a little waveform pop up every time somebody says something or somebody bumps furniture trying to move my sad body out of here, right? And then it would occur to them that they could go back and look at the beginning of this file. And this could be 8 hours of footage, right? 8 hours of audio. They go all the way back to the beginning and they hear me make a little sound and then hit the ground and then breathe hard for a couple seconds and then I'm out. That's kind of creepy, isn't it? Think about that. That is not how I want to go out. That is not how I want to be discovered. Because what if I whack my head and then say some dumb stuff before I'm out? Like, I put a donkey in the microwave. What you gonna do about it? I put a magic marker in the dog's butt. You'll never catch me. All right, enough of this jibber jab. It's the Diary of a Cartoonist. And lo and behold, I have a topic that is about cartooning, as it turns out. No more of this heavy family stuff like last time. Jeez, you guys sick of me yet with that? Today's topic goes something like this. I have noticed. Well, let's back it up. If you draw at all, especially if you're in the commercial arts of some sort, and I would put a lot of things in that, including cartooning, illustration, design, you know, stuff that isn't oil paintings. For a guy that took art history classes, you'd think I'd be able to explain that more, but whatever. It was a while ago. So I know, you know, throughout your life, you're influenced by certain artists. For me, it was some of the work by Mort Drucker, Jack Davis. Oh, too many to mention and think about. Heavily influenced by those Mad Magazine guys and that whole era of cartooning. I just loved it, ate it up. Still think those guys are amazing. One of my goals in life was to meet Mort Drucker before he died. He's not dead yet, but man, we got to be close. And I'd really like to somehow do, I don't know, that's probably never going to happen. At the very least, I'd like something signed by him. But I swear, every Mad Magazine that I purchased, I bought partially because I knew he'd be in there and his work would be in there. And he's just freaking amazing. His inks are just insane. Anyway, what was my point with that? Oh, it's just, so these people influence your work throughout time. And you see bits and pieces of it show up in your style. Jim Davis was a big thing for me. Gary Larson, Bill Watterson, a bunch of other people. And you can kind of see it in my early work and how it evolved. And then as it changed over the last, I'd say the last 15 years or so, you'd see it change pretty drastically over time. And then when I started doing it online, that became a way to see it change real quick, because that's a great way to kind of always be putting out new work. And then therefore kind of seeing how things change. And I'm used to that. And I think that's how it goes till death. I don't think anybody doesn't change. Charles Schulz changed his style a lot by the time he was done. You could clearly see three or four different styles that emerged. Significant styles that sort of hung on for him for huge portions of his career. And, you know, a guy, you know, who essentially was at the top of the cartoonist food chain and still is revered in so many ways. There's something nice and there's something comforting in the fact that he didn't stick with one simple style or didn't get locked into one look or whatever, that he kept evolving and changing as time went on as well. Cause then, you know, I think that's just the way it is and you need to be good with it. And it's a good thing for most people because you typically don't evolve backwards and do crappy work. You tend to move forward. Once in a while, you make a change here or there that somebody doesn't like, or you'll get crap online for, but for the most part, I believe it's progress. So the reason I tell you all that is here's the interesting switch up for me that I didn't expect. Over the last year or so, year and a half, maybe more, you've probably noticed if you followed me on Twitter or other stuff with any regularity that my daughter, 16-year-old daughter Carter, has been putting out some pretty amazing work of her own. And she's established a quality of work and style early enough in her life that it makes me look like the slowest snail in the group. Like, just, I couldn't have come close to that when I was her age. And man, how awesome would that have been? Now, she's got access to tools and options and abilities and us encouraging her and things that I may not have had access to at her age. So yes, she has an advantage, but really there's a lot of core sort of talent there that's just her working really hard on it and it's coming out. And it looks amazing. She's doing really, really cool work. Well, here's the funny bit. She has her own influences, right? Things that she grew up with as a kid, as a young kid, and is now, you know, she's 16 now, but there's still things influencing her in pop culture and certain artists and certain animators and things like that. Heavily influenced, I think, by the world of, you know, Adventure Time and Regular Show and things like that. And the funny bit is I find myself influenced by her. And not so much in style, because I think that's harder to do, or it's at least it's not as an obvious thing to notice. But what I've seen her do has made me reassess the way I think about what I draw. And what I mean by that is she goes for this really strong emotional root to the image. Like, if it's an image of something she's really into, let's say Firefly, because we got her hooked on that, and she draws Mal, Zoe, and somebody else, Jane. She's not doing photorealistic art of them. She's not doing things that are like, oh, wow, they're really pushing the design envelope. But she's nabbing and grabbing onto something that's a little bit more intangible, hard to explain, but you know it when you like it. Or you like it when you see it, is what I meant to say. Or you know it when you see it. What do I mean? I don't know what I mean. But there's an essence there that she captures, and the heart of it gets captured. And it has the effect of making the viewer go, whoa, that's awesome. They're not even really sure why they know it's awesome. They just know it is. That's hard to do. That takes other people decades if they ever do it. I think it's a rare thing. I think I could come out with 10 names of people who can successfully do it, and then thousands more who try and come close. And I keep trying to explain this to her because I think it's a precious thing and I don't want it to be a phase or something she didn't know she was, you know, I want to be able to do it without, I mean, right now I feel like she's doing it without trying to do that, but I want her to be able to figure out a way to try to do it, because if it's just a passing phase and she loses that, I'll feel really bad because I think it's a really important part of what she does. But what it's taught me, and I'm, you know, this is humble dad time here. What it's taught me is sometimes the simplest approach is the best approach. Sometimes going for the essence of a thing is more important than trying to create a perfect replica of the thing. So you'll notice in the last year or so, I wouldn't call it a simplification, but my stuff has tended to be a little bit more symbolic and representative of the thing that I'm trying to create, and less about perfect angles, realistic features, you know, even though they're still cartoons, but I'm not aiming so much for that anymore. And I feel like that's been her influence. I like that feeling of getting back to those basics. And it's really freeing, like sitting down and drawing something with a different kind of approach, with that different perspective. It's a bit of a paradigm shift for me, because I do sometimes get wrapped up in like, okay, now we got to make sure that looks balanced. And, you know, and there are certain principles you want to always try to improve in your work. But I've got all that down. I have those basics down. It's not like I need more of that. So I need to quit pushing myself to do more of that. I need to push myself to capture the heart of the thing, because that's way more effective. So it's just interesting. I didn't expect to be influenced in that way by my daughter's artwork at all. And she is always talking about how she's influenced by mine. And that's great. And I'll acknowledge that that's probably true. But she has somehow gone under the wire and grabbed onto this other thing that I sometimes have a hard time getting. And I envy it. It's just awesome. It's so cool. And I, you know, just hope beyond hope that that's a part of this that she can hold on to. Because, man, what an awesome thing to be able to do, you know? So cool. Anyway, so my goal moving forward is to do more of that. And hopefully it works out for the best. Thanks, you guys, for listening. Listen, I love your questions, so keep them coming. Your comments are great, too. And you're encouraged to write in anytime, scott@frogpants.com. I will gladly take your emails for Diary of a Cartoonist. That'll do it for me. We'll see you guys next time.